So, Ollie, can I ask you something? Artemis inquires, the cap to her pen clenched between her teeth as she looks over a sample parliament proposal for errors and inconsistencies. Oliver glances up from his Latavan newspaper. His gold pince-nez are perched on his nose. He sniffs, going back to it in a second. Dinah's upstairs, and judging by the periodic thunking noises Artemis can hear, is probably practicing her knife throwing. Go for it, he declares, turning a page. Homecoming is on Friday, Artemis explains, treading carefully. And I was kind of hoping I could get all the after-school time to myself, so I can get ready and stuff. Oliver starts chortling, that kind of rolling laugh she's come to know so well, and folds the newspaper in half, scanning the middle of the page. Of course, he answers. What do I look like, a tyrant? You really want me to answer that? Artemis bites back, passing him the proposal. Jolly joker, he mutters with a shake of his head, plucking the paper out of her hands and looking over it. He nods and hmms, and nods some more before sitting it on the lamp table. Well done. You only missed 2 errors. Artemis groans. He never tells her what mistake she makes, either, because he wants her to learn from instinct, not from getting told the right answer. The clock over the fireplace chimes 5 o'clock. Artemis stands, curtsies, and hefts her bag onto her shoulder. See you tomorrow, she calls over her shoulder, and just as she gets to the double doors, one of them opens and Dinah walks in. Bye, Dinah. Dinah nods to her and walks over to Oliver. As the door swings closed behind Artemis, it snags just slightly on the shoulder of her blazer, which slows its movement enough that the latch doesn't close completely. Artemis pauses, glancing back. She can hear the rustle of paper, and Oliver sighing, and one of the chairs squeaking as Dinah sits down. She doesn't keep walking. What's wrong? Dinah asks quietly, just slightly muffled. Oliver sighs again. It's heavy, and long, and tired. I don't know, he murmurs back. I just don't know if she's ready for all this. She's been exceeding our expectations in every respect, Dinah whispers, sounding a little exasperated. You were just saying the other night how proud you are of her. I know, Oliver says wearily. And I am. She's something else, that girl. But I suppose I just... He exhales. A log in the hearth crackles. I'm just worried we'll have another jade on our hands. He finishes, barely audible. But Artemis hears it. Her heart starts rattling. Did a draft blow the door open again? Dinah mutters. And as Artemis hears footsteps, she strides hastily down the hall and around the corner. She's breathing fast the whole way home, but Paula's already gone to bed when she gets there. She has one of her autumn colds, so she doesn't think to tell her anything. And when she's awakened by the insistent beeping of her alarm clock the next morning, she doesn't even remember what had freaked her out at all. Wayne lets them use their independent study period to decorate the gym, since the dance is the next night. And Artemis almost loses the use of her legs when she walks in. And it's not because of the giant spider web hung from the ceiling, or the freaky masks on the walls, either. It's because Cal Durham is standing on a ladder on the opposite side of the gym, hanging streamers. Streamers he is taking directly from a box contained in the arms of Connor Kent. What? She hisses, swatting Zatanna repeatedly in the arm when she walks by with a smoke machine. Is this? Well, sweetie, this is a gym, and people have dances and basketball games in them, Zatanna coos soothingly. Sometimes you can even lose your virginity here. It's very multi-purpose. Shut the hell up, Artemis snaps. I mean, what are they doing here? She points to Connor and Cal. Connor has a large pink streamer spilled on his face, and Cal is apologizing profusely, climbing down from the ladder. Oh, Zatanna shrugs. Dick knows Connor, who knows Cal, who knows me, so they came to help. Incredible. For once, Dick Grayson is actually useful. Where's Wally? Artemis asks, jogging to catch up with Zatanna after she starts striding over to the stage. Zatanna smirks. Why do you care? Cal is right over there. Artemis glowers. Zatanna sighs. He has a track meet. I think Megan went. Artemis deflates a little. Oh. Quit moping and go dig out the plastic fedoras, okay? Zatanna huffs. Put them all in the pumpkin bowl by the entrance door. Make yourself handy. My friend, Artemis hears Cal say, that shade of pink is actually quite flattering on you. Connor grunts. You think? He shifts. Hey, Zatanna, do you have any wolf decorations? Artemis frowns. Wolves? Hey, Zatanna calls to Artemis across the gymnasium. You still up for dress shopping tonight, right? 6 o'clock, my house? Megan's coming. Ugh, right. Shopping. Also, Zatanna and Megan are apparently friends now, somehow. Artemis is always the last to hear about this stuff. Oliver's at some dinner with the Secretary General until Friday night, so it's just Dinah and Artemis for Thursday's lesson. Which would normally be totally awesome, except for the fact that Artemis has remembered what she'd overheard the day before, and she can't focus on how best to break a paparazzo's nose when all she can remember is Oliver and Dinah saying her sister's name like they knew it. Hey, Dinah? She finally screws up the courage to ask. Hmm? Dinah's in the middle of cleaning her gun. Jade's a princess too, right? Artemis stutters, keeping her eyes focused on the opposite wall as she shadowboxes. The pause is just a heartbeat too long. Yes, Dinah replies, and nothing more. So, I mean, Artemis swiftly punches the air and draws back. Theoretically, when she was 16, you and Oliver would have come to see her about ruling too, right? Dinah doesn't say anything. Artemis can't work up the motivation to press her. The clock chimes 4:30. Tell you what, Dinah mutters. You can leave early today. Artemis stops shadowboxing and starts to whirl around. But go on, Dinah says encouragingly. But there's an undercurrent of cold insistence that Artemis wishes she didn't recognize. Thanks, Artemis whispers. It comes out chilly. Zatanna is so excited about Artemis showing up an hour and a half early that she apparently doesn't even think to ask why she's all sweaty. But Artemis isn't going to complain. Still, though, even when Barsoom shows up to drive them to the mall in Megan's uncle's limo, and even though there's a mini-fridge inside that has miniature cans of Coca-Cola, are you kidding? Why doesn't the Princess of Latava get a limo like this? Artemis's throat won't stop feeling like there's a golf ball stuck in it. This is ridiculous, Artemis growls an hour later in the dressing room of Suburban Outfitters. Can I die? Please don't, Zatanna replies wryly from the other side of the painted white door. It's not ridiculous, Megan argues cheerfully, tossing another of the dresses over the top of the door. You know, one of the dresses that Artemis had, like, passively glanced at. Ooh, you have good taste.
What?
Artemis barks. I am not wearing white, Megan. We're not getting married. Zatanna lets out a loud, false cough that sounds suspiciously like...
Yet.
Most of the dress choices are Megan's, since Artemis wouldn't know a nice-looking dance dress if it bit her on the nose. Bright blue, red, pink, white. The styles are tolerable, but the colors are inexcusable. These are all way too expensive, Artemis says quietly, embarrassingly self-conscious about it, even though, according to Oliver, Vltava is one of the richest countries in the world. Can we just go to Goodwill or something?
Oh, didn't Meg tell you?
Zatanna chirps as Megan flounces around. Her uncle will be treating us to anything purchased in this mall. He's really excited that I have friends, Megan provides, sounding sheepish. Oh no. Guilt. Crushing guilt. Crushing guilt!
Can you zip me up?
Artemis grumbles, instead of tearing up because that is the nicest and saddest thing ever. I'll do it, Megan volunteers, with a touch too much alacrity, flinging the door open and slipping in, practically bouncing. Artemis stares at herself in the mirror after Megan does up the zipper and straightens the skirt. It doesn't look bad. It's a rich pine green color, and it's satin. There are no annoying shoulders or sleeves, and the skirt stops a few inches over her knees, flattering without being too form-fitting, hanging like an especially well-hung curtain. It fits a little like a cocktail dress, but it's strapless, and there's an open triangle in the fabric covering her back. Artemis turns to the right, surveying herself analytically in profile.
This one doesn't suck, she says begrudgingly.
Outside, Zatanna claps her hands and calls to the saleswoman.
We'll take it!
It's almost 9:30 when Artemis hears a knock at her bedroom door. She looks up over her shoulder sharply. She's sitting cross-legged in her desk chair, working diligently on her French homework, and the new dress, $57, the cheapest out of the three that she and the girls had walked out of there with, is hanging in her closet, right next to Jade's old parka. Jade yowls grumpily, standing up and stretching. And, okay, color Artemis confused. Her mom usually never knocks, preferring instead to just yell for her to open the door, so... Of course. Dinah! Is nothing sacred?
Come in, Artemis grumbles,
before hunching back over to wrap up conjugating accueillir in subjonctif. Look, Dinah, I thought we decided that you weren't allowed to come within 50 feet of this build- Ah! She jumps back, knocking over her pencil cup and startling Jade into bolting for the closet. The people downstairs probably think she just dropped a bowling ball on her foot. You're not Dinah, Artemis ekes out, completely rigid. Okay. Wally stares down at her like she's sprouted a second face. No, I am not Dinah, he confirms, sounding tentative. Whoever that is.
No one,
Artemis blurts out.
A friend, my aunt. No one.
Wow,
Wally scratches his head, surveying her with something vaguely resembling concern. Do you always scare this easily?
No,
Artemis retorts sharply. I mean, I don't scare ever, actually. You just took me off guard. She shakes her head and slaps a hand onto her ankle to refrain from kicking herself in the face. Get a grip! Sorry, it's been a long day. She frowns up at him. Which reminds me, what are you doing in my bedroom exactly?
I wanted to come and visit,
Wally tells her, slipping his hands into his pockets and swaying rhythmically on his feet.
Make sure you weren't turning innocent men to stone and whatnot.
Well, as you can see, I'm rock-free in here, Artemis snips, gesturing to the room.
Wally eyes the AC/DC poster over her desk. You certainly are.
Hilarious, Artemis deadpans. She turns back to her desk, trying to make it look like she still has work to do, mostly just because her brain is still catching up to the fact that Wally West is in her room. Wally West has now seen her wearing her Gryffindor pajamas. Why and how is this her life?
You don't seriously expect me to buy that visiting shtick, do you? To Dick dare you or something?
I just... Wally mumbles. You seem kind of stressed out lately. I mean, I guess I just wanted to see if everything was okay. Figure it's my duty, being your date to the dance and all.
Artemis's hand freezes over the paper. Something very worrisomely warm and pleasant just unfolded in her chest.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she tells him softly, shifting slowly in her seat so that she can face him again. She rests her elbow on the back of the chair. Everything's fine.
It's such a total lie, by the way. Worse than the lie about Dinah being her no-one-friend aunt.
Judging by the exasperated look on Wally's face, he totally spots it too.
Shouldn't you be saving your concern for some of your real friends? Artemis appends sarcastically, in a sorry attempt to save herself. Because, let's face it, a couple viewings of Star Wars and a nap in his lap in the wake of constant belligerent arguments do not a friendship make.
Wally lets out this big sigh, but it's audibly one of those sighs that comes out when the sire can't believe what he or she just heard.
Artemis looks at his chest instead of his face, because it's easier.
Look, he says. But then he folds his lips in, and his eyes dart around, and he takes a deep breath before straightening, rubbing the back of his neck with one hand and gesticulating nonsensically with the other as he continues.
Okay, bear with me, because this could wind up being one of those things that sounds way better in my head than out loud, but...
He tilts his head down slightly to get our attention. And when she glances up against her better judgment to look him in the eye, something in her lungs jumps and hitches right in her throat like a fishing hook. He's smiling at her, earnestly, steadily, and it might be the nicest smile she's ever seen.
You are one of my real friends, he tells her. Maybe even more than Zat or Connor.
Yeah, he and Connor had met through Dick, and Connor freaking loves him.
Listen, I know I can act like a jerk. We both can. Personally, I choke it up to bad first impressions. But as hard as it might be for you to grasp, I really care about you.
He flushes.
I mean, in a friendly, caring way. The way friends care.
Maybe even more than the average friend?
Will someone in the audience please remind Artemis how breathing works?
Thank you.
The point is,
Wally looks at the floor, his eyes half-lidded, his smile easy and wry, like he's just understood a joke he'd played on himself.
The point is, I know how you can get about trying to look tough, and that's fine. Kind of cute, even. And I'm saying that in a friendly way. Friends. Because I feel like if you don't, people are going to walk all over you. But I'm not like that. None of us are, but especially not me. You don't have anything to prove, Artemis. His eyes shift up again, meeting hers, settling into place perfectly. Not to me, anyway, he adds. And I just want you to know that if you're ever desperate for someone to tell your deepest and darkest secrets to, I'm usually free on weekdays after 5 p.m. Okay? Artemis feels her suddenly weightless head move up and down in a nod. She thinks that her lips have quirked up into a subtle smile, but she can't be sure. Okay, she breathes. She feels the grin twitch open just a little bigger. Yeah, okay. And how weird is this? Here's Wally West, who has, in the past month alone, gone from bane of her existence to tentative ally to movie-watching buddy to homecoming date to whatever he is being right now, which she arguably likes the best out of all of them. He has freckles on his toes, and sometimes he snorts when he guffaws, and he gets this concentrated look on his face when he's working on chemistry with her, and he always smells like clean laundry. And he killed a spider for her once, and only made fun of how high her scream had been for a couple of hours. And sometimes, when she watches him run during track meets, she wonders what it'd be like if he just sprinted over and scooped her up in his arms and took her with him, wherever he always looks like he's trying to go. And there are so many things that she could tell him right now. So many things that she almost does. Things about how she still misses her sister on rainy nights. Things about how there'll always be the tiniest part of her that wishes she was good enough to make her dad stick around. Things about how she feels like she's disappointing everyone half the time. Things about how she's the sole heir to a centuries-old Eastern European royal family and can't tell anyone and will probably have to rule it when she's 21 and feels like she just lost the opportunity to live her life the way she wants to and is never sure if she's good enough and also wouldn't mind kissing him. But the words that come out of her mouth are different. I really am okay, she says, in a voice that doesn't feel like it's hers. I have a pretty big shortage of deep dark secrets. Unless not seeing Star Wars until 2 weeks ago counts. That totally counts, Wally declares, with a solemn nod. If there was, though, Artemis continues, I'd tell you. Which is also a lie. Wally's face splits into a bashful grin. He sighs briskly, his hands going for his pockets again, and starts to step back. Well, if everything's cool, then I'll let you get back to writing up your plans for destroying mankind. I assume that's what you do when you're not sucking at chemistry. Huh, Artemis sneers. Wally nods a couple of times, and Artemis won't let her mind think that he's stalling, before turning fully away and reaching for the doorknob. Something catches in Artemis's throat. Wally? He stops and glances over his shoulder, his eyes fraught with worry, like he's afraid she's going to tell him that his whole monologue actually wasn't the nicest thing she'd heard in her entire life. But when he notices that she's still smiling at him, he loosens. She swallows and waves her hand, somehow managing a scoff, tearing her eyes away sheepishly. It sounded fine out loud. The look of utter happiness on his stupid face is worth the mushy words. New text message from Wally. Pick you up at 8 tomorrow? Unless you're going to stand me up. In which case, I give you an hour to change your mind, so 9. Sent text message to Wally. It's fine, laser brain.
There's this thing about Artemis's life, though. This thing she should have learned a long time ago. And that's that nothing good ever really happens to her. Nothing good ever really stays. She wishes she hadn't forgotten. If you come home and the zipper on that dress is even the slightest bit off center, Paula threatens with a murderous look in her eyes, I will personally make it my mission to starve you. You will be home by 1 o'clock. You will call me every 2 hours. And if I catch you with your lipstick smudged... She smiles serenely, settling. Well, let us hope it does not become necessary to investigate that possibility. Artemis gulps. She's standing in the middle of the living room in her dress and opaque black stockings and a pair of Jane's old high heels, with an obsidian lace harlequin mask, courtesy of Dinah, in one hand and a clutch in the other. Feeling like she's about to face the apocalypse. There had been a kind of unreal, suspended quality to the school day, and it had felt weird not to go to Oliver's directly after independent study ended, and Zatanna's been texting her about every 7 seconds to update her on how nervous Wally apparently is, as well as all kinds of super unsavory things about how she can use Dick's tie to her advantage. They're going together. Shock of the century. And Megan sent her a picture of her in her dress, a frothy, cream-colored thing with a periwinkle sash. And Artemis is pretty sure that her head now consists of approximately 40% hairspray, and Wally's going to be there in 20 minutes. And, okay, Artemis has never been to a dance of any kind before, and she's starting to regret her uninformed decisions to go to this one, with a date, especially one planned by Zatanna. Had she been high? Don't look so terrified, Paula exclaims, throwing her hands up. You will have a wonderful time. She gets a sly look on her face. And I will be able to chat with this Wally again. He was so charming when he came to visit a few days ago. Artemis rolls her eyes as hugely as she possibly can. Please don't remind me. Her phone buzzes in her clutch, and she shoots her mom another wry smirk before turning slightly away and tucking it out. New text message from Z.
Now he's practicing offering his arm to you on Dick. He accidentally asked Dad to dance a few minutes ago.
New text message from Grayson.
I do hope you'll go easy on him tonight. He's kind of... emoji of a crazy person.
New text message from Z.
We're leaving in 5.
New text message from Wally.
Crap, are you wearing dark green or light green?
Artemis smiles privately to herself and is about to type back a reply to Wally when her screen lights up with an incoming call. Call from Oliver. Accept. Decline. Okay, stay calm, Artemis. He probably just wants to say something embarrassing.
At 7:43. P.M. on a Friday night. She doesn't have much of a choice. She taps the accept button. This is better be good, she says jokingly, and when her mom gives her an inquisitive look, she mouths, Ollie. There's a pause that lasts just a beat long enough to make Artemis stiffen on instinct.
Artemis, I'm sorry, but you need to get out to the villa right away.
Oliver's voice comes out in a rush, sounding strained and panicked, and a host of other things that make Artemis' stomach swiftly plummet and hit her heels.
It's urgent. Incredibly urgent.
Artemis opens and closes her mouth wordlessly a few times. And Paula must have noticed the conflicted look on her face, because she wheels closer slowly, reaching up to clasp Artemis's wrist. Vlatava urgent? Artemis finally breathes tensely, bracing herself.
I'm afraid so,
Oliver affirms gravely. Ollie, I... Artemis shakes her head, even though she knows he can't see it. I can't! I have a date! A very important date!
Well, it's...
His tone is wrought with pained exhaustion.
It's your choice, Artemis. It will always be your choice. If you think that your commitment to West should take precedence, then I won't try to change your mind.
He sighs feebly and finishes with,
It's your decision, Your Highness.
Dinah calls her that all the time, yeah, and so does Oliver. But it still doesn't stop the title from making Artemis's bones go cold. She bites her lip and closes her eyes. And, well, she does what a princess would do. They're in the study, Dinah mutters, ushering Artemis hurriedly through the main hallway and past the portrait gallery to the appropriate pair of mahogany doors. They, Artemis croaks. Her hair is windswept and her eyes are dry. The ride on Dinah's motorcycle, which had already been waiting outside her apartment building, had been fast and harum-scarum, and now she's pretty sure she looks like some kind of rabid raccoon. She doesn't know why her voice is so hoarse. Probably because when she'd been an idiot and turned her head to look back at her street after Dinah had taken off, she'd done it just in time to see Wally pull up in Zatanna's dad's Studebaker. Dinah shoves the doors open and practically scoops Artemis into the room, her arms curved snugly around the base of Artemis's back, and Artemis understands in an instant what she means. Oliver is seated in his trusty leather armchair, one elbow braced on the armrest and attached to the hand currently covering his face. Standing opposite him, over a fallen baseball cap, is a tall, muscular young man with a shock of red hair that sticks up over his forehead and a ferocious-looking face, dressed in a scarlet and black motorcycle jacket and jeans. Artemis balks instinctively. He looks furious.
Just let me leave, all!
He's in the middle of shouting. His fists are clenched at his sides.
You think you can just drag me into your little castle the second you and your goons track me down? I told you years ago, I'm done with you. Done with Vlatava, so why don't you just piss off?
Artemis, Dinah says coolly, her hand now braced on Artemis's shoulder. This is your cousin Roy. At the sound of his name, Roy jerks his head slightly, his eyes darting over to Artemis like a pair of arrows.
Cousin,
he sneers, hooking his thumbs into the belt loops of his jeans.
I don't have any cousins.
She's my niece, Roy,
Oliver rasps, sounding enervated. He drops his hand away from his face and slackens back in the chair.
Lawrence's daughter.
Lawrence had a...
Roy shifts fully to face Artemis, who can't do anything but stand there, feeling exposed and fragile in her stupid dress and her stupid done-up hair, her mind still 6 paces behind, waiting on the street corner for Wally.
I can see it. The resemblance, I mean.
He tilts his head, examining Artemis closely, all the while with a disparaging curl to his lips.
This is your new little monarch? Can she even use a bow?
Yes,
Artemis bites back. She can. Roy snorts.
So what do you need me for, then, if you've got her?
Artemis finally has the good sense to glare at him, jutting her chin out.
I don't know what he needs,
she snaps, gesturing tightly to Oliver.
But personally, I'd love an explanation for what the hell is going on.
Roy nods pensively, although she's brought up a good point. He turns back to Oliver, eyes unchanging.
Well, all,
he snarls.
You heard the lady.
Oliver looks, instead, to Dinah. Artemis and Roy follow his gaze in unison. Dinah nods silently to him, her expression resigned, and Oliver sighs, heaving himself up from the chair and pacing over to stand between Artemis and Roy, who go back to glaring each other down. Roy was the first potential heir we lost, he explains in a tired, gravelly voice. As we told you, Artemis, after he discovered he was adopted. Bitterness spasms across Roy's face. He just ran off, Oliver continues. I wanted so badly just to have him home so we could talk, so I could explain to him that he was better than any blood son I could ever have, that I hired some of Latava's finest private investigators to hunt him down. Explains why it took so long, Roy interjects snidely. Oliver grimaces, but ignores him. We only just found him. He was... He shakes his head, gazing with glassy eyes at the floor. He was only a few cities over, just living in this simple apartment, working a day job at the local archery range. What, did you expect me to be embroiled in globetrotting espionage? Roy scoffs. Give me a break, Oliver. A normal life was all I ever wanted, even though that's hardly what I got with That's not the point. Oliver cuts him off swiftly. A little too swiftly. He turns back to Artemis. She's never seen him look so tired. The point is that we found him because we thought that he could take over the throne. He was always our first choice. Always. Because he's a guy? Artemis asks sharply. No, Oliver answers immediately. Because he's my son. He shakes his head. Lawrence may have been a coward and a pig, but he only ever wanted the most ordinary life for you and your sister. I used to think that he was being selfish, but maybe that was the best thing he could have ever given you. Wait, Artemis cuts in, feeling her stomach start to knot itself, and her heart starts to quicken into a pattern. If you found him, then does that mean he'll take the throne instead of me? An inexorable smile starts to burst onto her face before she can dampen it. Does that mean I don't have to? Sorry to let you down, Your Highness, but I wouldn't accept that throne if you paid me, Roy snarls. Seeing this man try to give me anything without my being his own flesh and blood is pathetic, and I don't want anything more to do with him anyway. Not exactly endearing to have someone lie to you your whole life. He curls his lip. But I doubt you know what that feels like. It's remarkably similar to a sucker punch to the face. Artemis would have stumbled if there wasn't a newfound outrage coursing through her, holding her up. Oh, you doubt it, huh? She says, in a low and dangerous growl. You know what I did when I found out that I'd been lied to? After my dad walked out on me and my sister took the quickest escape route through the window and this idiot, she points to Oliver, who makes an indignant noise, came stomping into my life like he owned it. I sucked it up and did what was asked of me. Because, yeah, it may not have been something I ever thought would have happened to me, and it may not have been something I was prepared for, and I may not have even really heard of Latava before it had become part of my daily vocabulary, but at least I've got enough of a functioning heart and brain to know that you always do what's right, whether you're royal or not. And leaving this lame excuse for the country to be absorbed by Austria? Leaving said idiot without a single hope of having anything even remotely resembling a family left, deciding not to put my life on hold for the sake of freaking masses, is not the right thing to do! She hadn't even noticed she'd been advancing on Roy. But she is, pointing at his chin, and he's actually starting to take a step back with everyone she takes forward. And I didn't decide to do it because I had to, or because they guilted me into it. I did it
because I wanted to. I wanted to do the right thing for once in my freaking life, and I wanted to actually take responsibility for something for a change, and I wanted to prove that I could be better than just Lawrence Croc's deadbeat daughter. And I can respect you, Roy, for making your own decisions, but in case you haven't figured this out by now, that decision was stupid, and you're a coward, and maybe Vlatala's a lot better off without you. She whirls on Dinah, who's beaming at her elatedly. Dinah, she says primly, let's go eat some Bialian jerky. Yes, your highness, Dinah says with a bow and a flourish. And as Artemis's brain finally catches up to her, and her knees start to shake, and as she stalks toward the kitchens ahead of Dinah, Dinah turns her head over her shoulder and raises her eyebrows at Roy and winks at Oliver, and Oliver sits weakly back down in his chair. Roy blinks at the wall.
What the hell just happened?
New text message. From Z.
Where are you? We waited 20 minutes and then went on without you. Please call me. I'm worried.
1. Missed call from Mom. 16. Missed calls from
Wally.
1. Voicemail from
Wally.
Listen.
Hey, it's me, Wally. I tried you a few times and you're not picking up, so I guess I'm just gonna assume that you did change your mind. And, I mean, that's fine. I just wish that you'd explain why. Just so I can know what I did wrong, for posterity. Anyway, whatever you're doing, I hope it's more fun than you thought going to dance with me would be. Bye.
Artemis can't think of anything she can say, or text, or conceive that could possibly give Wally a good reason for why she bailed on him. So she just settles for not calling or texting him at all. She calls Zatanna, though, at about 3 a.m, after she's hoarsely explained everything that's happened to her mom. She passes it off as a sudden stomach bug, that she'd been too sick to even pick up a phone, that she's so sorry. And Zatanna clearly doesn't believe it, but accepts it, murmuring that it's okay, even though Wally didn't dance with anyone and drove to Artemis' apartment building halfway through the dance to check on her, and she and Dick had to get a ride home from Cal. He's having a Halloween party tomorrow, Zatanna says. Cal, I mean. He invited us all last night. You too, if you're up for it. Artemis croaks, wiping her swollen eyes with the sleeve of her Alice in Wonderland sweater.
Maybe?
It turns out that her mom did get to meet Wally again. But she tells Artemis that he only came up for a few minutes and looked around dejectedly and then left. But that he was very polite the whole time and she thought he was quite charming.
I hope you enjoyed him while you could,
Artemis mumbles miserably.
Because he's never going to talk to me again. She deserves this, though. She knows she does. She deserves this for not trusting her friends,
no matter what Oliver told her about confidentiality and international secrets. Not so much didn't trust them to keep it a secret, but didn't trust them to keep associating with her after they found out. Because Artemis is used to losing people, and it hasn't magically gotten enjoyable, so sometimes she does stupid things and overthinks because she'll do anything, probably, to keep them around. You realize you're making it 10 times worse every hour you don't talk to him, right? Zatanna asks gently. Artemis sniffles. Because the truth is, lying to Wally about anything at this point, even about how much money she has in her wallet, even about the fact that she secretly likes Han Solo better than Princess Leia, after what he'd said to her in her room, seems like the cruelest thing she could possibly do. Way, way crueler than standing him up and not telling him why.
agrees to stay at the villa with Oliver until Artemis's introduction ball, so he's going to be around for her lessons. Artemis couldn't care less. He doesn't deserve the time of day from her, honestly. Ugh, selfish prick. Ugh, whatever. Maybe the proximity will give Dinah the opportunity to shoot his toes off if he doesn't agree to take the throne. Zatanna manages to convince Artemis to go to Cal's Halloween party, and Artemis wears her stupid vampire costume from the year before, sulking in the corners with a cup of melon punch and her cloak pulled tightly around her. Zatanna's a witch, looking adorable in her wide-brimmed pointy hat and little witch ankle boots. Dick is Nero from The Matrix. Freak. Wally is the wolf from Teen Wolf. The movie, not the show. She can barely distinguish him under his werewolf ears and fake beard and fangs, but she knows it's him because he spends the entire party flirting with Megan, a zombie bride, more doggedly than she's seen him do in weeks. Like, thankfully Megan thinks it's cute, so it kind of reduces the creep factor and just makes it a pathetic factor, because she spends the entire party following Connor the mummy around wherever he goes, and he doesn't mind if his simple smiles are anything to go by.
You really need to talk to him, Zatanna murmurs, coming to stand beside Artemis and munch on her handful of popcorn.
She and Artemis look in unison at Wally, who's chattering animatedly to the auburn-haired kid from Track, a pirate, and Cal, a 1920s gangster, pinstripe suit and fedora and all. Is that Raquel Irvin? Artemis asks instead, nodding subtly to Raquel, who's dressed as the girl from Flashdance and is gazing longingly at Cal.
Yeah, you didn't know? Zatanna replies, making a face. She and Cal are, like, a thing now. They hung out at the dance and now they might be going out? I don't know. He's kind of been weird about it, but he's definitely into her.
Speaking of being into people, you should talk to Wally.
Artemis straightens, tensing up slightly at the sight of Wally starting to approach her and Zatanna. I think he's gonna have that covered.
Artemis! Wally exclaims in mock surprise when he halts in front of them. Fancy seeing you here.
Artemis keeps her eyes trained on the punch bowl against the opposite wall and doesn't say a word. Her mind is rapidly starting to black out. So, he clears his throat, and the undercurrent of bitterness that had been in his voice a second ago has ebbed into something Artemis doesn't even want to think about. I was wondering.
I gotta go home, Artemis cuts in, and she hands Zatanna her cup and leaves.
Nice one, princess.
Everything sucks and is terrible. Of course, Artemis knew that eventually Wally would stop being hurt and start being angry, and that's the stage they're at now, to the point where he won't look her in the eye during class and refuses to speak to her during lunch and generally makes everything painful and awkward.
Zatanna and Dick take it like champs, though. It probably helps that Megan and Connor and Cal have started eating lunch with all of them, now that they've all magically bonded with everyone while Artemis has been tied down by princessly duties. So they're sort of a buffer? Sort of? But they can only do so much. Slowly, the days after homecoming start to come and go with the rhythm of a usual week. Halloween ends, and the streets get grayer, and the wind stronger with the onset of November. And after a few repeated occurrences, Oliver stops getting on her case for showing up drenched to lessons. Can't be helped, Dinah says. But Oliver swears that her coronation gift is going to be an umbrella. She starts to get to know Roy a little better, too. He apparently has a girlfriend that he lives with in Star City, which is about a 2-hour drive from Gotham. He's incredible at archery. He can probably eat twice his body weight in chili, which, by the way, Oliver has been making for her constantly since she told him about the fact that her fragile friendship with Wally has been completely shattered. Chili is like the Vlatovan version of ice cream. He likes watching Spanish soap operas and talking over them with his own dialogue. And okay, maybe Artemis does it with him a couple of times. Maybe. He's the only one who Arsenal actually likes enough not to bite or attack. And he knows how to make spaghetti from scratch. Still a selfish prick, though. The one useful thing that Artemis manages to do in the following week, though, is get Connor and Megan to start going out. Right? Oh, she's amazing. She pilfers each of their phones at lunch one day because she is literally sick of seeing them spend half of their waking hours making doe eyes at each other and then blushing and looking away and smiling and standing a little closer to each other every day. So she texts a single message to Connor with Megan's phone and Megan with Connor's. Do you like wolves? They're totally sucking face the next morning. It's awesome. Zatanna isn't quite as thrilled about it as Artemis is, because she's usually the one third-wheeling for them now that Dick's been spending his lunch periods in with a computer club to prep them for some competition in January, but whatever. Artemis actually feels like a decent friend for the first time in weeks, and no one's going to take that away from her. And then the inevitable comes. Zatanna passes her a note in independent study on Friday, November 7th. Wally's birthday is on Tuesday. We're having a party at my place. Don't tell him, but you're totally invited. Artemis isn't sure that that's how parties work. She also isn't sure that she should even go. But when she looks surreptitiously over her shoulder at where Wally's sitting, hunched over a copy of The Heart of Darkness with that pensive frown, and his tongue between his teeth, and a pencil behind his ear, and his lips pink from the cold, she suddenly can't fathom why she ever wouldn't. Zootiful has invited you to a private chat. Zootiful has added Wally Best to the chat. Zootiful has left the chat. Wally Best is typing. Wally Best is typing. Wally Best is typing. Wally Best has left the chat. Smartimus has left the chat. A comprehensive list of Artemis Croc's problems, in no particular order. 1. Wally hates her. 2. She hates him too, actually. He's being ridiculous. 3. She really, seriously, unquestionably, inconsolably wants to kiss him. 4. She doesn't know why. 5. Dinah takes her shopping that weekend. Apparently it's some kind of covert apology for the whole Roy thing. They find this little black dress with a Queen Anne neckline that fits Artemis like a tube, conforming to her every curve and bone and stopping halfway to her knees. It's more than a little different than her homecoming dress, but if she's going to get Wally to actually slip up and look at her, she might as well do it right. Afterwards, they go back to the villa to find that Oliver and Roy are out on the archery range, laughing and chatting with much more ease than Artemis can tell they've had in a long, long time. Dinah steers her into the study pretty suddenly, and Artemis only thinks to ask her what they're doing after Dinah has shoved her down to sit on the green leather couch and taken a seat opposite her in the matching green chair. "We need to have a talk," Dinah tells her simply. Artemis blinks at her. About about revealing your identity to the public. Dinah expounds, leaning back and crossing one leg over the other.
We're doing that at the ball, though,
Artemis says, frowning.
Aren't we?
Dinah nods and shrugs, the words coming out taut with hesitation, like she's afraid that the wrong syllable will send Artemis into an apoplectic fit. That's the plan, yes. But I've been talking to Oliver, and I think it might garner more favorable attention to Vlatava and a higher attendance rate, if maybe we go public a little sooner than we'd planned.
Artemis physically feels the color drain from her face. No, she blurts out. No, no, absolutely not. No, 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 no.
I can understand your nervousness, but Artemis, we're going to have to go personally public with this sooner or later, Dinah tells her gently. Preferably sooner than later. You can't just stay in the shadows anymore. The world is going to know one way or another. And the only way to keep it from being a media debacle is for you to break the news yourself in the most articulate way that you can. I just thought we could consider the option.
Artemis scoffs and folds her arms more tightly and sinks down into the chair, and she knows Dinah must be being very sympathetic right now because she doesn't even start ranting about posture. Yeah, sure, Artemis mutters. Of course, I'll just go stand up on a rooftop somewhere and yell it down at everyone. Can you imagine what Wally would do with that? As soon as she says the words, she knows that they're way, way too much. But, you know, she can easily imagine what Wally would do with that. Laugh at her. Hate her for keeping a secret from him. Start avoiding her. Forget about the fact that she ditched him for homecoming. Forget the fact that she hadn't been able to get up the guts to offer him an explanation. He'll just be even more hurt that she didn't tell him the truth earlier. Having a weird backstory is nowhere near as cool as comic books make it seem, although she's pretty sure Bruce Banner wouldn't have gotten rejected if he turned into a princess instead of a green rage monster. But then again, Wally would probably take Bruce Banner over her any day.
Interesting, Dinah muses. But she sounds so annoyingly satisfied. So the person you're most worried about, out of an entire planet, out of an entire plethora of government officials and reporters and possible assassins, is Wally. Artemis gulps and looks up, feeling her eyes start to sting. Yeah, she whispers.
Yeah, I guess so. You got me. Hilarious, right? There are people who are gonna be closing in on me with machine guns, and all I want is for him to...
She gulps again.
To talk to me.
Her voice quiets to a mumble, probably because she hadn't intended to let the next sentence go any further than the back of her brain.
For a really, really long time.
She looks Dinah in the eye, biting her lip. Dinah, she mumbles, hating how her voice starts shaking.
I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know if I ever did. Oh, I'm such a failure. I messed everything up. I don't even know what I'm doing or what I'm going to do or how I'm going to manage anything. And I feel like I'm letting everyone down. You'd think after a few tries that it'd stop sucking as much, but... Honestly,
she hiccups, her voice breaking.
It's still the worst feeling in the world.
Artemis, Dinah murmurs. Sweetheart, you're not letting anyone down. We couldn't possibly be more proud of you.
What for?
Artemis demands, throwing her hands in the air.
What have I even done! I broke a few priceless vases and learned how to do a jump kick in high heels, and I can probably recite the entire Vlatovan family tree from memory, but I haven't stopped any wars, or diffused any sensitive situations, or anything even remotely useful.
You realize it's only been 2 months since you started, right?
Dinah asks flatly.
And making the kind of progress you have in 2 months is pretty impressive, if you ask me. Under her breath, she adds, I've never seen someone pick up boxing so quickly.
Ugh, I don't care, Artemis groans, scrubbing a hand over her face.
And incidentally, you still have another month left to go, Dinah continues, raising an eyebrow at Artemis's petulant remark. So you may surprise yourself.
Okay, but can we save the surprises until the reveal date we originally agreed on?
Artemis whimpers.
She rubs her eyes. Just let me have what I have now. Just for a little longer. Just let me still be able to know what it feels like to have a semi-normal life until December. Please.
Dinah is silent for a few minutes. But when Artemis looks up through swimming eyes, she blinks slowly and folds her hands and nods once. All right, Dinah says softly. As you wish, Your Highness.
Don't call me that, Artemis mutters, shaking her head. I don't deserve it.
I've seen a lot of royal offspring in my time, Artemis, Dinah tells her with a wry smile. And trust me when I tell you that you most definitely do.